If you know the story of Paul McCartney, he was 13 or 14 when his mother died from breast cancer. Her name was Mary. He loved her very, very much. And many years later, when he was a famous Beatle in 1968 and the Beatles were starting to fall apart, and he was very concerned, didn't know what to do, he went to bed with the prayer in his heart, Mom, please give me an answer. And he said he woke up in the morning with the song coming through with the message from his mom of, there will be an answer, let it be, let it be. That makes me cry, sorry. Because it's a perfect story of how even when we're about to go through a really hard time in our lives, because there are going to be very difficult moments here. We know that. That's part of the human life journey. And we ask for guidance and messages. But even when it's about to be troubled waters, Mother Mary comes to me speaking words of wisdom. Let it be, let it be. So the answer really came to him that it would work out, it would be okay, and that she was giving him love and confidence to walk through it. That right there is our divine guidance. It's a perfect example of how easy it is to tap into that guidance. We might not wake up and be able to write an award-winning song from the guidance that we got, but we will get our answer. And then our free will question is, are we going to listen to it? Or are we going to fight it, resist it, see if it's logical, process it through our left brain, or are we going to open our heart and trust our soul's wisdom? Well, take it from me, an old hippie from the 60s, that your life flows in grace and love whenever you open your heart to trust the signs as they're coming to you. So I have a question for all of you. Many of you, I'd say all of you, probably have a big decision that you're struggling to make. And it could be something like, do I move to a different home or a different city, or do I stay where I am? What do I do with my loved one who's having health problems? What do I do with my own health problems? All of these questions that we're always having to process in our earth lives. Well, the answers come to us so beautifully and quickly and easily. So today, here's your little exercise right now. Close your eyes and put that question that's in your heart. Breathe into it and ask that silently. What is the answer to this question I'm struggling with? And breathe into that. And it could even be, is my departed beloved still with me? Do they still love me? Breathe into the question. Now, I promise you that by the end of today's talk, you'll have a little more clarity, and all day you'll be getting signs. And I'm going to talk about what those signs are, so that by tonight, before you go to bed or when you wake up in the morning, you will get your answer. And it'll be a beautiful, loving, empowering answer. Because that is how this God force universe communicates with us. If the answer comes in fear, it's not coming from the highest realms of God. Even if we're about to walk through a difficult time, it will come to us in love, in grace, in empowerment. So, how does God in this universe speak to us? Through these tiny little things. It's not going to be some big lightning bolt, although that can happen, or the parting of the Red Sea. It's going to be you pull into traffic and there's a driver's license plate in front of you that has a date or has a name or has double repeated numbers that mean something to you. Anybody have those experiences? Yeah. There's a lot of people here that I love who are masters in signs and divine guidance. They trust it. But that's also because they've been brokenhearted by grief and loss and tragedy. When those things happen to us, they are our great spiritual awakenings. And we don't get through this life without experiencing those moments. And yet, as soon as we walk through them, the signs are crazy. They just start coming to us constantly. And our choice then becomes, will I listen? Will I trust it? Will I believe it? Your answer is yes. You will, and you are. So in the Bible, Matthew 11, it says, let those who have ears to hear, hear. I love that because we all have ears to hear. It's almost, I always hear that quote as if it's Matthew going, duh, you have ears to hear. The guidance is coming to you all the time. Just listen. Charles Fillmore, the co-founder of Unity, taught that divine wisdom is continually available to us through the indwelling presence of Spirit. I love that, and I love that teaching of Unity, that God and the force of love lives within each of us. So you are never separate from the loving God source. You are never separate from that flow of unconditional love and guidance. You know, one time a while ago, I was channeling in some messages. I love to do automatic writing. And I asked the angels, you know, what should I do about a certain problem or issue? And the angels wrote through me and said, Sue, do you really believe that in this all-loving God force universe that we would leave you alone to navigate by yourself? And that brought tears to my eyes because how silly of us humans to think we're here all alone and that we're having to make these choices and decisions and take these steps from our human self. Because our human selves are pretty pitiful. We don't see the whole picture with our left brain logic mind. Only our higher soul's wisdom understands that bigger picture. And often we can't even see that until we look back at our lives and all the things that have happened to us and how they eventually brought us into a better, more awakened life. So Carl Jung called synchronicities meaningful coincidences. You know, when you're thinking about somebody and they call you, or you run into them in the grocery store, or you're asking for help and suddenly a book or a class appears to you that has that exact topic, that is a beautiful sign. And back when I was young, we used to call coincidences coinkydinks because they were the wink from the universe, right? That everything was serving our highest good and that everything was in divine order. But what if nothing that ever happens here is a mistake or an accident or a coincidence? That takes a radical shift of view. That means you're willing to look at your life with all of its painful moments and the world at large and its painful moments, its conflict, and say, there's a bigger understanding of this that shows that it's an interplay of light and dark serving all of our highest growth. And that, in fact, we came here for this experience of contrast so that we could choose the love, that we could choose the light. So I was very blessed to have a big wake-up call when I was 29 and my beautiful young husband died of colon cancer in my arms. And at the time, I would never have told you that that was a great gift. But he immediately, upon leaving his body when he crossed over, went into the higher realms as we do and took me with him to teach me how things work. This is officially called a shared death experience. The term was coined by Raymond Moody, who also created the near-death experience research and titles. And he also said, when you have a loved one who crosses over, even if you're not physically near them, they will often lift your consciousness into heaven where they are and show you how they're experiencing things. Well, Paul did exactly that when he crossed. He and I had been young and really upset that this was happening to him, and we never talked about divine order. Trust me, we were not believing or trusting in a divine order. And when he crossed, he took me into heaven to show me that it's all perfectly in divine order, even when we can't see that. And we had thought on earth here when Paul was here that a lot of mistakes were happening. He was misdiagnosed for a year. The doctors made all kinds of mistakes. It was 1979. And so he didn't talk about divine order or believe in it. And suddenly he's taking me into heaven, showing me that every tiny moment here is serving your love and your highest good in a way that you'll someday understand. This is a hard message to take when you're grieving, when you're broken, when you're sick. But I promise you, if you even look for that possibility, you will find it. And it'll open your eyes to this loving universe. So Paul also gave me one of the greatest signs I've ever had. After he crossed, I had to move into a new apartment instead of where we had been living. And I was pretty broke at the time. I was a mountain climber. You didn't make a lot of money for that kind of stuff in the 70s. And so I had called and looked around for a place to live, and I found these addresses that I had appointments to go visit the next day. But I was pretty depressed about it, and I was thinking, gosh, I really want to live in a beautiful place with light and windows. And my friend who I was staying with said, well, Sue, not on your budget. That's not going to happen. Be realistic. Anybody ever say, be realistic to you? You tell them, realism is believing in magic, miracles, and divine order. And so I listened to my friend, and I went, okay, and I went to bed that night. And all night I dreamed of this extraordinary apartment with floor-to-ceiling windows and circular staircase, different levels. It was just heavenly. And views of the Flatirons, the mountains where we lived. And I woke up going, oh my gosh, I just dreamt of this amazing apartment. And my friend's like, all right, get your list. You don't want to miss those appointments, you know? And so I pull my car out to go to the appointments, and there's this little sign just perched on the side of the main road going, apartment for rent. That sign was glowing. Have you ever had that experience? I couldn't take my eyes off of it. It was not on my list. And I found my car just turning into that driveway. And I got the landlord to show me that apartment. It was exactly the apartment I had dreamed of. Floor-to-ceiling windows, circular staircase, different levels, incredible views. It had been designed by the University of Colorado Architectural School. Now, they forgot about things like storage and closets, but in my life at the time, I didn't care about those things. And the kitchen was like smaller than you would have on a small boat, we could say. But who needs a big kitchen, right? And I was so happy, and I got that apartment, lived in it for many years, and I know that that was Paul and the angels and this beautiful divine universe saying, if you choose to follow your nudges, to follow your intuition, your life goes into a state of grace and flow. And that apartment was my constant reminder of that. In fact, my family is here today, and they know that to this day, those apartments still are in the same place in Boulder. And every time we would drive by them, I'd go, that was the apartment I dreamed of. And they were like, right, Mom, I know the story. And you know what's funny is those apartments now are condos or townhomes, whatever they're called, for like $3 million. I'm not kidding. And there's almost no closet space. So I couldn't live in it now, but then that was my gift from Paul. So one of the most common signs we all get are these double repeating numbers. And as you all have seen them, I'm sure there's nobody in this audience who hasn't just looked at the clock and seen 11:11 or 22:22. Or this morning, I opened my eyes and looked at the clock and it said 4:44. And I went, oh, thank you. That is a number that says you are supported and you are strong. And that's exactly what I wanted to hear this morning. So every time you look at the clock and you see those numbers, or you pull up and see that on a sign or in a license plate, that is a beautiful little nudge reminding you that you're not alone, reminding you that you're getting constant signs from departed beloveds, from angels, from everyone, bringing you back into the awareness that we are in an extraordinary universe, not just a plain old realistic, logical world. And when you can live from that heartfelt space of trusting it, everything good comes to you. And my question for you today is just very simple, easy things. I know you'll pass. This is a little test. When you go to your doctor's office and you're nervous about some procedure or treatment you're about to get, and they have a little sound system in that room, and suddenly your favorite song comes on, and it may be from decades ago, or it may be your departed beloved's favorite sign. Is that a sign or a coincidence? Sign? Let me hear you. Sign, there we go. Or let's just say you're taken into a random hospital room after some kind of serious surgery, and you look and see that it has all double numbers. It might be 11:11, 33:11, 22. Is that a sign that you are loved and guided, or a coincidence? Sign. This audience is much better than the 9 o'clock one. They needed some coffee. So one of my favorite stories about signs also is that there's no such thing as a coincidence or a synchronicity in my life and in yours as well. But do you know how when your departed beloved crosses and you're going through a hard time and all of a sudden you find something that they wrote for you or a picture you hadn't seen before and it suddenly gives you so much love? This happens to all of us. So when Paul died from cancer, it was July, and the following Valentine's Day, I was feeling pretty pitiful and grieving and all alone and all that stuff we walk through as humans. And I wanted to do some writing, and I was digging through some papers, and I find a Valentine's Day card that he had written the year before when he was alive, and it had a little chocolate heart with it. And the year before, when he was alive, he had been walking around the house going, I bought you this card and this chocolate and I can't find it. And it had really frustrated him, right? There will be an answer, let it be. And so there it was then, Valentine's Day, 7 months after he had died, I find the card. I had been through my things, I had moved, I had done so many things, it's almost impossible for me to imagine how that card and that chocolate did not appear to me. That just still blows my mind. But of course we know it was a sign, a loving sign from Paul, from my departed, from all of our higher beings saying, we gotcha, we love you. Those signs are always coming to us. Now, numerology is something I teach a lot. I know a lot of you have taken my classes on this. And Pythagoras was a Greek mystic in 580 BC. he was not a New Age guy. A lot of people tend to think, oh, it's numerology and numbers or something New Age, something woo-woo. Excuse me. I got to get my water. But Pythagoras was the guy who started our entire number system. Guess what? He was not realistic. He was a mystic. He started a school of enlightenment. He taught that numbers have more to them than just quantity, that they have a spiritual essence to them. So when we look at the structure of the world we live in, everything comes down to a mathematical equation. Einstein talked about this, all the great quantum physicists do. The number patterns are in the structures of your physical body, the number of cells you have, your chromosomes, and the movement of the stars are mathematical. The geometry of plants, flowers, and shells. It is the most divinely ordered universe when you step back and see it that way. So trust that that is here for you. Not just for the flowers, not just for the stars, not just for the geometry of our earth world, but for your life and your soul's purpose. That if you have a certain number that was your departed loved one's favorite number and it shows up, that's a little wink saying, I'm here, I love you, I see you. So unity teaches that spirit expresses through divine order. What could be more a symbol of divine order than numbers? So today, one of the ways you're going to get answers is you're going to notice when numbers pop up for you. If you get 111 or 111, it's a call to awaken to your intuition, to the divine guidance that you're getting. If it's a 22 or a 222, you're trusting your connection to your own higher soul's wisdom and purpose. If it's a 44, you are strong and supported, is the message. If it's 55, transformation and change are happening. Hold on to your hat, but it's all good. All of the numbers come through to give you a beautiful little guidance. But when you see these numbers, don't worry about what they mean. First, go into your heart and say, what is this number telling me? And how might it apply to the question in my heart? So right now, I want you to think about that question that you asked before we got going with the talk, and maybe close your eyes and feel into that question again. And now ask to receive the answer right now, easily, quickly, and clearly. Listen and receive it. Did you get an answer? You have to trust the way it comes to you, quickly, without struggle. You don't have to apply your logic to it. I want you to remember that you are not here by accident, that this is a loving divine order universe, that you made so many soul agreements with all of your important people in your life before you even came here, that you would bump into each other, wake each other up, love each other, and break each other's heart, all for the beautiful journey of awakening. So today, when you go through your life, be open. Ask to see those signs and get those answers, and then play with them, laugh about them, bring your playfulness to them, trust them. And then pause every day, find a way to sit in the silence, whether you call it meditation or hiking or writing, and listen and receive the answers. Unplug the phone, turn off the television, 10 minutes a day, and then take action. Whatever answer you get, don't let your human mind come in and start second guessing it, going, oh, I just thought of that because of blah, blah, blah. That's our crazy human logical mind. Instead, you're going to go, ah, I think now I know what to do, and I'm going to find a way forward. So don't forget that you are all just like Paul McCartney, asking for guidance, saying, what am I going to do about this problem? And you're going to wake up tomorrow, if you don't already have the answer, and you'll say, I know there's an answer. Let it be. Let it be. Thank you so much.